Hello again. We're fetching 6:15 on this Monday evening. So my colleague Kieran Ryan penned a very interesting article on British American Tobacco, which has been asked to come clean on spying allegations. He joins us on the line now for more on this. A very good evening to you, Kieran. So on the 4th of November, FITA served a promotion of access to information act request to BAT South Africa to make public the findings of an investigation into the cigarette giant's alleged conduct several years ago against its smaller competition for competitors. I beg your pardon. So for context's sake, what is going on here?
Basically, you have two groups of tobacco producers. On the one side, you've got the larger ones like British American Tobacco, which is a member of the Tobacco Institute of South Africa. And on the other side, you have smaller producers, the biggest of which would be Gold Leaf Tobacco, which is a member of the Fair Trade Independent Tobacco Association, or FITA. And they've been sort of involved in this turf war. I guess you would say it goes back several years, maybe even a decade. And it just really gets to the heart of the conduct of tobacco producers in this country. The FITA have asked for, and when I say FITA, I'm talking about the smaller producers. They're asking for British American Tobacco to release the results of a report into an investigation they did internally at a time that they were employing a company called Forensic Security Services. Now, that's FSC, and that was basically made up of former intelligence people, former police, and they were accused of dirty tricks against their smaller competitors. There is evidence of that. There's affidavits before courts at various times showing that they bugged the trucks of the smaller competitors. They intercepted communications, private phone calls. They breached privacy. They've been accused of several of these dirty tricks. And so FITA is asking for this information to be made public. The response from BAT, I don't think it's going to go anywhere particularly, because they have said that this is privileged information, but it will be released to the law enforcement authorities as and when it's requested. I think just to lay a little bit more context here, what FITA has been accused of, the smaller producers have been accused of dodging tax. So you go to the townships in South Africa, you find packets of cigarettes selling for 10 Rand or 5 Rand. Now just consider that the excise duty, the tax that's got to be paid on a packet of 20 cigarettes, is 19 Rand or thereabouts. It's impossible that anybody could be buying a packet of cigarettes for 10 Rand or 5 Rand. So British American Tobacco have thrown accusations of their own back at the smaller producers and saying this is where much of the tax dodging in South Africa is going on.
It also begs the question whether those are not even illicit cigarettes that should not be on the streets. But let's unpack all the role players, right? Taking a look right now at FITA, the Fair Trade Independent Tobacco Association, barely 3 months, CEO of Gold Leaf Tobacco, Mr. Simon Rutland, saying there was an assassination on his life. You had an opportunity to go to his warehouse and to speak to him. What did he say?
He believes it was one of his competitors who put out the assassination on him. He has private investigators on it. He has shared one or two names with MoneyWeb. We're not releasing that because there's no evidence so far that the person that has been named is actually involved, but we will release that as and when we do have further news from the police themselves. And then the question is, why would one of his own competitors, if that is true, why would they want to rub him out? It clearly is, again, as part of this turf war. Gold Leaf Tobacco has been doing very well in the market. It's got a number of brands like RG, which is, I believe at the moment, perhaps the best-selling brand in South Africa. So somebody would be jealous of that, perhaps, and want to eliminate a competitor. But Simon Rutland told me he's going nowhere. He's obviously increased his security. He travels around now with bodyguards, and they go in convoy. And he's also got private investigators onto the case, and they do intend to bring the person responsible to justice in the fairly near future.
Sounds like an episode of Game of Thrones. It's quite intense, all that is happening in the tobacco industry. You got a chance to speak to the Forensic Security Services, namely Mr. Francois van der Westhuizen. Did he give you perhaps more details that we can share with our listeners? We do know it is public knowledge that there are some cigarette companies that have actually funded political parties and many other things that have been going on in that industry. What else did he have to share with you?
I didn't speak to him personally. The information that I quoted in the story comes from an affidavit that he put in before the court, and he details exactly what was his role, his expected role as an employee of Forensic Security Services. He was told that, and this is again from the affidavit, he was told that everything that he was doing was above the law, but then he found out that just wasn't the case. So he was being asked to intercept communications, which is illegal, and he was being asked to do other things, which were really the words he used were he was, in effect, gathering intelligence for British American Tobacco. And he eventually came clean on this, and this is now, as I said, part of an affidavit, which is before the court. That's pretty strong evidence that he came out with. It hasn't been refuted, so we've got to accept that it stands as things are at the moment. Maybe it will be refuted in the future. But I think this is one of the reasons why the smaller tobacco producers want to get access to this British American Tobacco internal investigation, just to see what did they know. You know, maybe it was the case that Forensic Security Services were on a frolic of their own, or, you know, was it a bit more sinister? Were they being directed by British American Tobacco to go and do these investigations and to spy on their competitors? We don't know.
Right. And of course, we can't speak about the tobacco industry without speaking about the rogue unit, the SARS rogue unit, that is. Let's talk about Mr. Van Loggenburg and what he's had to say.
Well, Johan van Loggenburg, yes. He's been in the press an enormous amount over the last few years, and he feels obviously very aggrieved that he's been implicated in what was called the rogue unit operating within South African Revenue Services. Now, the rogue unit, there was a tobacco task team within SARS, within South African Revenue Services, and they were particularly effective. They were beginning to close in on all of the tax dodgers and the criminals that are involved in this industry. Again, a little bit of context here. You know, if you consider, and I get this from Johan van Loggenburg himself, if you bring a 40-foot container of tobacco across the border from Zimbabwe to South Africa, that's worth about 8 million. So you, with one container, you can become a millionaire. It's clear where the incentives are and why this is. I mean, this is better than cocaine smuggling. It's better than heroin. It's better than gold smuggling. Mm. Because it's so frequent. I mean, there's a line from the film, Thank You for Not Smoking. I think it's called Thank You for Smoking, where chief executive is having a go at his sales executive and says, look, yeah, our cigarettes, they're cheap, they're available, and they're addictive. The job is almost done for you. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly the situation here. This is the cigarette sales. If you look at the official stats for cigarette sales in South Africa, it looks like they're dropping. But that's only because of the extent of the illicit trade. It's reckoned that 42% of the cigarettes that are sold in the townships are illicit, and about one-third of the national sales are illicit. But just to go back to the rogue unit story, that has been debunked. And how did it get such traction? How did it get so many people believing that it did exist? And this rogue unit was alleged to have spied on politicians, even Jacob Zuma when he was president. They were supposed to have run a brothel. None of this has been proven out there. In fact, it's been debunked. So clearly you had people, there was a multi-departmental task team that was involving people from South African Revenue Services, from the Hawks, from the Public Protector, and different agencies, all operating under the State Security Agency. And it looks like that was so infiltrated that they started a war, basically, to stop this very effective investigation from gaining any traction within South African Revenue Services. And they succeeded for a period of time. However, it must be said at this point, South African Revenue Services has now, and I saw that with my own eyes, if you go to these tobacco factories, they have permanent teams in place to investigate what is the production, where is it going, and how much is the tax due. And Evidently, just this year alone, it's improved tax collections from cigarette sales by about $600 million. So it really is working. But we're years late. We probably lost about, between 2010 and now, we probably lost about $40 billion in tax revenue due to this activity that we've just been talking about.
Sure. Is it enough to just have the South African Revenue Services involved here? Should this not be a bigger operation?
Well, I think that has been tried. There was this multi-departmental task team put in place, but it got corrupted. And in the end, it started actually working for the bad guys. So I guess that's the question. When you've got too many people, too many outside agencies involved, the potential there for corruption still exists, I would say. So you need a pretty incorruptible tight team of guys who are going to run something like this. And I think this was the idea behind the tobacco task team that they had in SARS. And hopefully that is now being reconstructed in some way, shape or form.
You mentioned a little bit earlier on that BAT says they have the report, but they, you know, no indication as to when it will be made public or released. Have you had a chance to speak to them lately, and what has been their response to all of this?
Their response is that it's legally privileged. So what has happened here is Peter has put out a PIA application, that's Promotion of Access to Information Act request, for this report to be released. There was a previous application made by Financial Mail that didn't succeed. I doubt this one is going to succeed either. So we may not know. We may never get to see the actual contents of this report. But I think people who are in the industry would like to know to what extent there was spying going on of competitors. And I think, you know, as part of the purification process, if you like, for the industry as a whole, is just come clean and you know, just draw the line and move on and bring all of these players within the bounds of the law.
Is that something you foresee happening at all? I mean, we're talking about big monies here. You're saying a big container, 8 million rand, instantly you're a millionaire. So there's a lot of people with a lot to lose, and there's a lot of money that's been exchanged hands here, that's exchanging hands, I beg your pardon. So it's in somebody's best interest to keep this going.
Absolutely. There's big interest in having people, you know, who are profiting from this thing. They don't want to see any change in it whatsoever. So I don't see that this is ever going to be stamped out completely. But I think SARS will start to make some inroads into it. But you know, to what extent they will succeed, that's difficult to know.
Kieran, just maybe a final thought. In terms of, you know, other countries around the world, have we seen other countries grapple with this kind of situation, and how have they moved to deal with it?
It's happening. It's rampant throughout the third world in particular. And I would say also amongst the bigger producers, there have been accusations of what they call profit shifting. So when you have a big multinational operation with production facilities in different countries, you can, through a bookkeeping entry, you can make profits disappear in a high-tax location and make them reappear in a low-tax location. So there certainly seems to be some evidence of that happening. But in third world countries, exactly the same kind of thing happening as we're seeing in South Africa. And it's growing, and it is a big problem for tax authorities worldwide.
Thank you very much for that fantastic piece of journalism. That was Kieran Ryan. He's a MoneyWeb contributor, and you can head on over to our website. That's moneyweb.co.za, and his article titled British American Tobacco Asked to Come Clean on Spying Allegations.